Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, it's so great to have David Noble in the house here on this Thursday morning, every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. He's got a busy day job, though, so I always appreciate it whenever he can join us, and certainly understand if he can't make it in. But, David, I suspect we're going to see you every Thursday between now and Election Day at a minimum. So it's
I'm not going anywhere. It's huge between now. Well, and like I said, after Election Day, too, that's when things might get really crazy. And everybody's sort of been predicting, oh, what if Trump loses? Is he going to reject the election results? Is he going to refuse to accept the election? Guys, I'm worried about the Democrats not accepting these election results.
Yeah. What about this poll, though, from the New York Times? I think you saw it via X. I shared it earlier this morning here. I was just laughing my you-know-what off during one of the breaks. I shared the big headline about an hour ago that now Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, according to a New York Times poll, is up 52% to 44% the day that absentee ballots are getting mailed out across the state of Montana. That is huge news. That's incredible news. But none of these polls matter. It's what you do to get out and vote that matters. But I didn't even realize that apparently they also polled the governor's race. Old Fussy Bussy is down 22 points against Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. You know, it's the gift that just keeps giving all year long. You know, it's like...
Well, not only that, but this poll result comes on the heels of a month of nonstop anti-Sheehy, anti-Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy coverage from the TV stations and the newspapers in this state and the Twitter accounts of all the Democrats and the left. It's amazing to me. It's like for the last month, and I've gotten to the point now, it's really interesting. It's like I used to pay attention to this stuff and I used to click their stories and I used to read their threads and there's just so much of it and there's just all of this stuff out there about, and it's just this weird sense that I have, and I'm like, I'm looking through Twitter, I'm looking at the TV station's YouTube channel where they'll post their 5:30 news, I'm looking at the Billings Gazette website, and it's just story after story after story after Sheehy's horrible, Sheehy's so bad, and I'm just ignoring it, and I just have this sense that none of it's mattering, nobody's paying attention to it, it's not making a bit of difference.
Imagine being one of these liberal media people, one of these liberal news anchors at Q2 or Color 8 or, you know, ask me Ben. Ben, nobody cares what you have to say. People think you're full of it with your fake phony fact checks. They did this fake phony fact check on Q2 the other day that claimed that the discrimination against white farmers never happened.
Remember, 2021 is when I first started coming on this show, and I specifically remember covering that story. And I know you've talked a whole bunch about it, cited a bunch of sources. Senator Daines was just talking about it. My point on it was there's a federal court ruling that says that they discriminated against white farmers.
Yeah.
This isn't some made up thing. And then you've got the local news. Oh, no, that never happened. What are they talking about?
I know. And it's so unbelievable. To your point, they have been hyperventilating with negative coverage, negative coverage, negative coverage against Tim Sheehy. Nobody believes you. Nobody cares what you report on your TV stations anymore. They're seeing right through your garbage.
Military matters.
With tensions mounting in the Middle East, Hurricane Milton forced U.S. Central Command to evacuate its headquarters in Tampa. U.S. Central Command is normally located at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, which evacuated most of its warplanes ahead of the storm. Here's former CENTCOM Commander General Frank McKenzie, who decided to ride out the storm at his home in Tampa Bay.
The headquarters is designed to go other places, to go away from here under conditions like this. They are no longer operating out of MacDill. They're in another location, a safe location. Practiced this a lot when I was in command. We did several rehearsals for this. We anticipate these things occurring, and the headquarters is designed to accommodate it. But again, I go back to what I began with. The primary requirement is the commander's got to be in communications. If he can't talk up and down the chain of command, then he's not really in command.
So if Israel or Iran decide to strike during the hurricane, the current U.S. Central Commander, General Eric Carilla, will still have command and control over the U.S. response. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some scattered clouds around the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 60s in Bozeman to about 72 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay partly cloudy with a low temperature reading from the lower to middle 40s, and then the outlook for Friday. Just call for mainly sunny skies with highs from around 70 for most spots. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Oh, yeah, they claim to be the fact checkers, but they can't even get their facts straight. Did you guys see this phony fact check on one of the TV stations? They claim that the race-based farm loan forgiveness programs never happened. There was no discrimination against white farmers. What a bunch of BS. We got the facts for you. Check out the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, check out the podcast for the Mountain States Legal Foundation interview. Very interesting information. The real fact check.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The U.S. Supreme Court is ready to tackle the subject of ghost guns. Oral arguments are scheduled for today at the High Court for the case involving what power federal agencies might have to ban guns the federal agencies say they can't track. So far, the feds, in this case, the Biden administration Justice Department, are 0-2 in these courtrooms. The case is named for Jennifer Vanderstock, one of the original plaintiffs who, along with the Firearms Policy Coalition, sued the U.S. government over the ATF banning by rulemaking of kits allowing people to assemble their own firearms. Such firearms have no serial number and don't require background checks. A federal district in Texas ruled the ban to be unconstitutional, and the DOJ lost the appeal in the Fifth Circuit courts. And now they want to have the U.S. Supreme Court rule. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, David Noble, if you're able to join in live in the 8 o'clock hour and frankly, the 9 o'clock hour as well, great. If not, I'd love to get your take on our conversations if you're able to listen to the podcast later in the day. Because coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Kyle Schmock, who is a legislative aide to the Senate majority in the Montana State Legislature, he has been following this Soviet-style show trial against the best attorney general in the country, Attorney General Austin Knutson. So Kyle Schmock is going to weigh in on this Soviet-style show trial at 8:40 this morning, just before day two of the Kangaroo Court Commission's proceedings get underway back in Helena. So that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, I just posted this at our Montana Talks website. It is an open letter. It is a letter to the church in Montana regarding CI 128. Two pastors co-authored this letter. They've got apparently around 120 co-signers of faith leaders, reverends, ministers, pastors, etc., that have signed on to this letter, highlighting the urgency of how dangerous CI 128 truly is. Those two pastors are going to join me in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. So, but both of those topics are certainly topics that I'd love to get your take on as well here this morning. Where do you want to start?
That's fantastic. I will be listening. So on the CI-128 thing, so first of all, I think we all know where we all stand. I think that's important that they're doing that. That's a big issue, et cetera, et cetera. I'm more worried about the 126 and the 127 election ones, simply because those ones are much more deceptively written, even though 128 is pretty deceptive as well. But 126 and 127, which would fundamentally radically change how we do elections in this state. I'm even hearing from good Republicans that I know who are looking at those and then texting me and saying, hey, like, this seems to make sense.
What's the big deal?
Let's
get rid of primary elections. What's the problem?
Yeah, would give us more choices, or don't we want the winner to win a majority? And so I'm having to explain to people that Yeah, those are deceptively written. They kind of sound good on their face. But what those are is they're a fundamental transformation of our election system designed specifically to help Democrats and left wingers. That's the practical effect of these. You can talk about theoretical, how elections work, theory. The practical result is this is designed by leftist out-of-staters to get more Democrats elected, period.
Well, and at the end of the day, how many candidates do people want to see on the ballot come November? The reason we have primary elections is so that we can whittle it down. That's where the competition takes place. That's where you get a multitude of different options. And then in the general election, that's where we whittle it down. For example, for judicial races, for judge races, for our Supreme Court elections, we had a primary election for the Supreme Court. Now, there's no partisan elections for Supreme Court in theory, so you didn't have a Republican primary and a Democrat primary and a Green Party primary and a Libertarian primary. You had just a primary, so all of the candidates for the Supreme Court seats ran in the primary, and the top two vote-getters move forward to the general election. So now we have a head-to-head matchup. You have a true choice. They want to confuse the entire process and basically do away with the primaries and then allow for all sorts of shenanigans to occur. They're claiming that this will weaken the special interest. The special interests are going to have a field day with this because there's going to be electioneering and maneuvering and schemes,
and
all sorts of stuff.
You're not going to get principled conservatives elected under other those systems. Of
course,
special interests could, but the idea from the left is like, hey, instead of having a one-on-one between a conservative and a Democrat, we want a four-way between a conservative and then basically three sort of moderates slash Democrats. So then it's like, okay, so then the moderates or the Democrats are going to be more likely to win that race than the conservative compared to if it was a head-to-head with the conservative with the Democrat. On that Austin Knutson story, this is very, very disturbing to me because I view it as not just an electioneering issue or a silencing of free speech issue or going after Republican issue, although it's all of those sorts of things. I view it more as they're trying to take away his livelihood. His law license is how he makes a living. And they're not just trying to take away his ability to be on the ballot or his ability to be attorney general. They're trying to take away his license to practice law, which would mean that his entire career is thrown in the trash and he has no way to earn a living. And how is he gonna earn a living to pay for his family's expenses? I mean, this is really scary stuff they're doing to him. And then on the merits of it, I pulled up the complaint one time that they filed against him. It's 100 pages or 41 counts. So I'm not wasting my time reading that whole thing. The bottom line, though, is that I think if they're going after him because of the sharp language he used during the 2021 fight between the legislature and the Supreme Court, which was a genuine dispute between two branches of government, if they're going after him for that and saying, hey, you can't use language like that against the courts or against the judiciary under our rules of professional conduct because that destroys public confidence in the impartiality and integrity of the judiciary, I think that backfires. I think that if you go after every lawyer who says something bad about the judiciary, I think that actually causes the public to lose respect in the profession, the judiciary, more, because now the public is going to be sitting there thinking, wow, they stripped the license? They stripped the license and sanction and abuse any lawyer who says the judiciary is not impartial on a certain case or whatever it might be? Wow. What else is going on that none of the lawyers are allowed to say?
Well, and we know that this Office of Disciplinary Counsel and the commission practice are controlled by partisan Democrats. The Montana Supreme Court is controlled by partisan Democrats. Could you imagine if a Democrat attorney general had been hauled before some sham of an outfit like this and ordered to testify? Never would have happened. He wouldn't have even showed up.
Brett Bear Minute.
Vice President Harris using the final weeks before the presidential election to campaign in media interviews. Chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Byron York.
This media tour that she's doing, The View, Howard Stern, Stephen Colbert, the podcast Call Her Daddy and 60 Minutes, was really kind of interesting because almost all of them ranged from friendly to super friendly, with the exception of 60 Minutes. And perhaps the most friendly interview, The View, she messed up. And then in the sort of real journalism interview on CNN, she did not do well at all. I mean, she really had no answers to the questions that came to her about the border. Her answer about Ukraine was just embarrassing. And she really did not do well. So from the friendliest to the most adversarial, which was still a very respectful interview, she just did not do well in any of them.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some scattered clouds around the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 60s in Bozeman to about 72 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay partly cloudy with a low temperature reading from the lower to middle 40s, and then the outlook for Friday. Does call for mainly sunny skies with highs from around 70 for most spots. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we better keep the phone lines open for Thursday's Montana Talks because you want to get a chance to weigh in. You want to get a chance to be heard all across Montana. We had a couple of big guests on Wednesday's show. Then Friday, we're going to be live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls. So we'll try to keep the phone lines open for you on Thursday's show, barring some other big major developments. Montana Talks statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m., the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the great state of Montana.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
McDonald's has filed a federal lawsuit against major beef packers, including JBS, Cargill, Tyson, and others, accusing them of colluding to fix beef prices by limiting the supply of slaughtered cattle from 2015 to 2019. The suit, filed in New York State, claims these companies manipulate the market to increase beef prices while paying lower prices for cattle, all while boosting their profits unfairly. McDonald's points to a drop in slaughter volumes by the accused companies and alleges daily meetings were held to coordinate cattle procurement and sales strategies between the big packers. In other news, Charlotte, Montana's Coleman Angus Ranch had one heck of a sale this week. The Coleman family held the Coleman Angus female sale, offering 119 registered Angus females, and they averaged $28,210 a head. The top open heifer sold was Lot 70, Coleman Chloe, sold for $152,500. The top red cow, Lot 18, was Coleman Donna 928, bringing $200,000, and they sold one bull for $120,000. Again, one heck of a sale for Coleman Angus in Charlo, Montana. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this conversation with Kyle Schmock in the Montana legislature talking about this Soviet-style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson, that's going to be a must-hear update coming up later at 8:40. I also mentioned that we're going to have a couple of pastors that co-authored this letter to the church in Montana on CI 128. They're going to be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. But I mentioned how they've got, close to 120 signatories to this letter, warning people about the dangers of CI 128. Tim in Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app here. Tim says, I hadn't seen that letter, but add Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp to the list of signatories. So there he goes. So Patrick Webb with the Montana Family Foundation, if you're listening in, you can add a Reverend Tharp out there in Savage, Montana, to the list of signatories as well. David, man, there's so much to talk about here. I haven't even pulled up my audio clips that I've got available for the show yet today because we've just been rolling into things here so much. But you and I were kind of just talking off air how interesting it is. Symmetry where between John Tester's approach and Kamala Harris's approach. You and I were talking off air about this poll showing Tim Sheehy up by 8 points. now in a New York Times poll over John Tester on, as absentee ballots are about to get mailed out all across the state. And then we talked about how the dam appears to be breaking towards President Trump nationally as well, especially in these battleground states where the sugar high that Kamala Harris was riding on is now starting to crash. But we were talking about how the only reason Kamala Harris is starting to do these media interviews is because she has to. And isn't it interesting that John Tester was running the same basement campaign strategy? He was hiding out. All of a sudden, he's finally starting to pop his head up because he has to. He's in a desperate situation right now. So, of course, he finally shows up at a parade in Bozeman, right?
Right. No, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious that Kamala and Tester would be staying in their basements if they thought they could maintain a lead in the polls and in the election by doing that. But no, I mean, Kamala Harris is, boy, is she bad. And she's doing this media blitz now where she's going on all these different shows and she's going on all these different podcasts. And I'm just sitting there like, even I'm starting to tune out a lot of the news on Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And apparently Tim Walz is now advocating against the Electoral College. That's a woke update of the week right there.
Kind of big surprise there too, right?
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to get rid of the Electoral College, that's the exact same thing as saying you want to get rid of the entire Constitution, get rid of the United States Senate, get rid of our federal system of government, because the Electoral College is absolutely critical and fundamental to our entire structure of our constitutional federal system, where we have checks and balances, where you've got state sovereignty and states' rights, where you've got a United States Senate with two senators per state. I mean, if you're going to get rid of the Electoral College, the next thing you get rid of is the United States Senate, because the exact same arguments these leftists use against the Electoral, they apply equally to the United States Senate. And you can't get rid of the United States Senate without fundamentally transforming our bicameral legislature and our checks and balances and everything else. So these Democrats are openly saying, we hate the Constitution, we want to totally get rid of the U.S. Constitution. That's what they're saying when they say they want to get rid of the Electoral College.
And when John Tester has supported efforts to count illegal aliens in the census, when he has support creating new states like giving statehood to Washington, D.C., when the Democrats talk about doing away with the Electoral College, what are they talking about? What are they really talking about doing away with from a Montana first perspective? Doing away with Montana power, taking our power away, because the Electoral College is there so that, you know, that the mass population centers can't lord over and rule over the rest of the country. And so we have two senators from Montana. Well, actually, you could argue that New York has three
right
senators.
Now.
We have one. We have Steve Daines, and New York has three, because New York has John Tester, Chuck Schumer, and who's the other one? I even forget.
I have no idea. No, but the other thing to that, Aaron, is not only does it take away Montana's power and all small states' power, but it also fundamentally negates the idea that states are sovereign and states are equal. And the United States Senate and the Electoral College are fundamental parts of the structural foundations of our government that establish that a state is an equal with another state. When it comes to the United States Senate, when it comes to certain aspects of the Electoral College, states are equal to other states. Montana, we're equal to California. We have two senators, and we get two Electoral College votes for our two senators. So you get rid of that, you're basically violating the idea that states are equal to each other.
And we've got a senator supposedly from Montana in John Tester that is brazenly, repeatedly voting against Montana's interests. And then, big surprise, he's down by 8 points in a New York Times poll. All right, back in 60, if you don't mind. Man, so I don't know if you saw this story that I posted on our Montana Talks website yesterday. I mentioned it on the radio yesterday as well here. A Bozeman rape suspect is now behind bars on an immigration hold for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This, as Bozeman has seen a surge in crime associated with illegal aliens. And Mexican drug cartels are known to be targeting the area. Look at all of the backlog in criminal cases right now. These courts are supposedly overwhelmed with work. I had the Democrat Gallatin County attorney on the show, and she talked about how, we don't have enough workers in the court system. The cases are backlogged. And I made this point before with this Held case, the Held climate trial and the climate alarmist case, which is like, wow, we've got a backlog. We've got court personnel that are overworked, apparently. We don't have enough people to process all these criminal cases and get these done in a timely, efficient manner here. But they've got all the time in the world for these Soviet-style show trials, from the Held climate case to the Soviet-style show trial going after the attorney general of the state of Montana. The Democrats would never have even showed for something like this if the Republicans ran a commission like this. The Democrat would never even show up for it, and the media would back them up and mock the entire idea that they're forcing an elected official like the attorney general to have to show up for some sort of a sham committee like this.
No comment, Aaron.
Well, that's because you're a lawyer.
I am a licensed attorney, I'm not going to comment on that.
I say this stuff, but that's the reality of this, is that you as a lawyer have your hands tied. Yeah, all lawyers in the state, is that you, like...
Well, and we were talking a little bit off air about this, Aaron, and it's not just conservative lawyers that the left and the Democrats would like to silence. It's all of us. It's conservative farmers. It's conservative ranchers. It's conservative oil and gas workers. It's conservative construction workers. They'd like to silence us all. It just so happens that that they've got a mechanism with the licensing rules. And I really don't want to comment on that too much. Number one, because I haven't delved in. I'm not an expert on the rules of professional conduct. I've never delved into the facts. Plus, I just don't want to say something that could get me a licensing complaint by, oh my gosh, David criticized the court system, and therefore now he... First of all, I do have to say, I will actually say that, like, for your run-of-the-mill sort of civil cases that I handle, our court system here does do a good job. I've gotten wins myself from the Montana Supreme Court multiple times on multiple cases where they've got it right. I get lots of correct decisions from our judges here in Yellowstone County, district court judges. So there's a lot of positive things that can be said about it. But the Democrats would love to silence all conservatives, not just conservative lawyers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly. That's why I think the blessing in disguise, there's a few, the blessing in disguise that can come of this Soviet-style sham trial, in my opinion, is they do away with this whole commission, this whole ODC nonsense that threatens lawyers all across the state of Montana. So, yeah, I think there could be a blessing in disguise here.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I thought Trivia Travis would have the answer. Travis is Mr. Trivia. He has the, you have a random fact, a random name. Travis will spit it out right in a second. So I was having trouble remembering who New York's third senator was. I remember that, you know, New York has Chuck Schumer to represent them. They've got John Tester to represent them. Who was their third senator? Travis said even he had to look it up. Kirsten Gillibrand. That's right. I forgot her name, but yeah.
She's still in there, huh?
Yeah, she's still in there. Yeah, apparently. But, man. I really hope that this election goes the way the polls are saying that it should go. Again, we don't want to spike the football. We don't want to talk about a red wave that turns into a trickle or a ripple.
Which is what has happened in the past.
Yep, always seems to happen.
But it is, when you've got the New York Times showing Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy leading liberal Senator John Tester by 8 points and more importantly, topping the 50% mark. That's key, is when you get over that 50% hurdle, that's a key number. But I think back, my cousin and I, when we were sitting in the airport in Washington, D.C., and the flight from New York landed and Chuck Schumer popped off the airplane, and I'm just sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I told Chuck Schumer, "Hey, Chuck, you're going to lose that race in Montana. We're going to beat you in Montana." And he whipped around. Oh, man. Boy, did that get under his skin. And I thought I was kind of nice and having fun with it, you know. But, man, you could tell that got under his skin, because he and John Tester, they are one and the same. So I can't wait to to I hope that I you know have the opportunity to run into Chuck Schumer after that with a hey Chuck, I don't know if you remember that back and forth at DCA, but good to see you, Chuck.
Well, it's not just that one poll, the New York Times Siena poll. It's the AARP poll. It's all the other polls too.
Repeated polls. Yeah. Some good news here. Let's see, David Noble. We were talking about the Soviet style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson. I shared this earlier this morning. I don't think you even saw this. There was a ruling out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they smacked down federal judge Don Malloy, and they ruled. So anyway, here's what I tweeted out earlier this morning. While the Soviet style show trial against Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson was underway in Helena, A.G. Knutson scored a massive win at the Ninth Circuit, an embarrassing ruling overturning the left-wing hack federal judge Don Malloy in Missoula. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this dealt with COVID vaccine mandates, and it was a COVID-era debate where Attorney General Austin Knutson was standing up for freedom, standing up for your freedoms, and liberal judge Don Malloy said, oh, no, you can't give people medical freedom. And then now the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just overturned liberal judge Don Malloy, if I'm reading it right.
That's right. And it's not just the Attorney General Austin Knutson that was standing up for our freedom. It was also the Montana legislature and Governor Gene Forte. The Montana legislature passed HB 702 and Governor Gene Forte signed HB 702, which prohibited discrimination based on vaccination. And by the way, you're right. I didn't know anything about this until just 2 seconds ago. And now I'm looking at the opinion. So that's how I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Hey, you sound great. I knew you could look at that. It was a 41-page ruling and decision where they just smacked this thing down entirely, but put it up the 4-page summary.
Oh, okay.
And I knew you could give a better read on the 4-page summary than I could.
So HB 702 prohibited discrimination based on vax status, which was a great bill out of the 21 legislature, where the legislature and Gene Forte and obviously A.G. Knutson all believe that, hey, this is horrible what the Dems are trying to force with all this discrimination about vaccination status and kicking people to the curb for not wanting to take a vax and everything else. And, you know, your body, your choice, and my body, my choice, except when it came to that. And, of course, there's no laws. There's no laws that control a man's body. Forget about the draft. But anyway, so, yeah, federal district court judge had said that HB 702, which prohibited discrimination based on vaccination status, is preempted by the federal law, the American with Disabilities Act and OSHA. And preemption is a legal doctrine which basically says if the federal government puts a law in place in an area of law that they have constitutional authority to do so, and that federal law basically conflicts with the state law, then the federal law preempts or overrules or overcomes or controls over a state law. And so they had said, hey, you've got this vaccination status discrimination bill that conflicts with the federal American with Disabilities Act. Therefore, it's improper, can't be enforced. And so, yeah, this is huge, actually. So
it's great. It's great news. I know, you know, we had nurses that were standing up, speaking out against this stuff. I remember interviewing a young woman. She worked for one of the hospitals in Great Falls, a young pregnant mom, and they were trying to force her to take the experimental COVID shot. And she's like, why in the world would I do that? I've got a baby. I think it was her first baby. I need to go back and follow up with that young nurse, because this is what they were trying to do. This is what the Democrats were trying to do. And the very same fake news media out there that has been relentlessly running with these fake news attacks against Tim Sheehy that aren't working, by the way, were the same fake news TV stations and newspapers that also tried to force the shot on a young pregnant nurse in Great Falls. And these TV reporters, many of them didn't want to do this, right? They, you know, but they were basically, they weren't even out there on the front lines reporting the news. They weren't questioning the government. They weren't questioning these so-called health officials that didn't even have medical backgrounds. They were hiding in their basements, doing Zoom interviews, pushing government propaganda, pushing lockdown propaganda, and they got it wrong during COVID, and yet look at how they doubled down, and they're getting it wrong in the U.S. Senate race, too.
That's truly revolting what not only the media and the Democrats did, but any of these businesses or providers out there that tried to force their employees and patients to try to get the COVID vax is truly a despicable thing. I mean, the idea of basically chasing somebody down and they're screaming and stuff, and you chase them down and hold them down and then jab them with something and inject a vaccine into their body that they don't want in their body. I mean, that's some really, really revolting stuff.
And then they tried to force it on your kids. Zero Head Edge.com has this story here. Saturday, October 5th, Greg Franks shared it with me over the weekend here. Shock study finds six-fold increased death rate in COVID-vaxxed kids. We knew that COVID wasn't a threat to kids, but yet they tried to force this experimental jab on your kids. Never forget, people. Never forget.
Never forget. And the fact that we're still getting here in October 2024, we're still getting litigation decisions over laws that were passed during that. Hey, got to give a shout out to Brent Mead, Deputy Solicitor General here in Montana. He argued this case at the Ninth Circuit. Shout out to Michael Russell, Assistant Attorney General, Christian Corrigan, Montana Solicitor General, and Austin Knutson, Montana Attorney General. You know, as a lawyer, you got to give a shout out to the lawyers' names who appear on the opinion.
That's right. Brent Mead's a great guy. Yeah, he's been in that role for quite some time now. The Montana boy's getting it done. By the way, this is why they have A.G. Knutson on this sham stand here, on this Soviet-style show trial stand, is because, A, they want to take him off the campaign trail. They're trying to interfere in the election. It's going to backfire on him. He's going to win by an even bigger margin now. But C, he has been effective at going after the Biden administration on vaccine mandates, federal overreach, standing up for our railroad personnel, et cetera. And so they're trying to sideline him from holding the Biden-Harris regime accountable as well. That's the other reason why they're doing this. And so I think the fact that he is such an effective attorney general is the reason he's being so desperately attacked. This is unprecedented, what is taking place in Helena this week. It is such a violation of American norms, what is taking place in Helena, Montana.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know if it was A.G. Knutson or somebody with his staff or campaign that had pointed out at one point that you look back at, like, the history of some of these complaints against lawyers, and the vast majority of the time, you know, a lot of the time it's the lawyer stealing money. I mean, that's the number one way that a lawyer gets in trouble with the bar is to steal their client's money. That's obvious. You immediately lose your license for that. But, you know, it's like people, we got lawyers in this state throughout our history who have stolen people's money, who have lied to courts, committed perjury, done all sort of manner of horrible things. And they get these complaints and it's got two or three counts in it. A.G. Knutson got 41 counts. It's like when Trump talks about how Donald Trump has been indicted more times than Alphonse Capone.
Man, I don't know if you guys could hear me coughing, hacking. I'm just laughing so hard. I'm like, help me, Jesus, help me, help me. You know, I'm just like dying laughing. I mean, what a great analogy. Again, they will go after their political opponents with more hate, more vigor, more, you know, complaints, more charges than they will against actual criminals, time and time again. Hey, Chris in Billings, stand by if you can. I want to get to your phone call. I was going to try to sneak you in there before the break, but we got to hit the heartbreak right now. Chris in Billings, I'll get to your phone call first thing right after this.
This is the sound of your ride home with Dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
Fox News commentary.
A Deadspin defamation lawsuit will move forward. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Last year, a Deadspin sports writer accused a 9-year-old Chiefs fan of racism for his face paint and native headdress. He wrote and published an article with the headline, "The NFL needs to speak out against the Kansas City Chiefs fan in blackface and a native headdress. They're doubling up on racism," a subhead reads. The little boy was wearing Chiefs-themed face paint and asked for the headdress. Come to find out, he actually has Native American heritage. But even so, that boy and his family were subjected to relentless public ridicule, hate messages, and death threats, and they filed a defamation lawsuit against the sports website over it. Deadspin wanted the courts to throw that lawsuit out, claiming since it was an opinion piece, the outlet couldn't be held liable. But too bad, because this week, Superior Court Judge Sean Lugg denied Deadspin's motion to dismiss, and the lawsuit will move forward. So Deadspin is finding out the hard way that when you cry racism, well, you better have your facts straight. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're looking for an extra source of income, there are different online options for you to score some dough. When thinking about a side hustle, keep your interest in mind and try to think of job opportunities where you can expand on those interests. Social media has become a popular side hustle where you can make money through brand deals, which are basically partnerships between a company and a creator. Social media apps like TikTok and YouTube also have certain programs in which individuals can make money through their apps. Or you can try selling your unique handmade and custom items like t-shirts, jewelry, or home decor on online marketplace Etsy for a profit. Another way to make money online is freelance work, which can come from writing, tutoring, graphic design, language translating, and more. Once you figure out freelance jobs you're looking for, conduct an online search to find opportunities that may be a good fit for your talents.
See Invisible Killer in your home right now.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's sneak in a caller here. Chris in Billings, I hope you're able to stick with us there. Are you still on the phone lines? Hey, all right. Yeah, what's going on, Chris?
A couple things, and I got to get into work. Disaster relief, that's a payment per household, not person. And that's a glaring example of throwing our money at an issue that doesn't work. The other thing is, I think we need to stick to a talking point about Pamela not answering questions. I haven't heard, we're still waiting. It should be the talking point. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I think the most important talking point that she shared with us on The View the other day is that she would have done, looking back, she would do nothing different from what Joe Biden did these last 3.5 years. Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. David Noble, your thoughts?
Well, he makes a good point about how just throwing money at the problem, you know, is not ever a good solution. But it reminded me, too, of what John Jackson had said on the show, I think, on Tuesday of this week. He had a couple of good one-liners.
Don't inflate his ego anymore now. No, I'm joking. No, no. Yeah, what were the one-liners?
He was talking at one point about how basically, like, as somebody who'd worked for the federal government, he's in a good position to say that the federal government is terrible at, like, doing anything, and, like, you should never count on them to do the job right, and et cetera, et cetera. Which I thought was pretty funny. And it's like, yeah, why are we like trying to count on FEMA and the federal government to fix all of our problems? I mean, I understand that the system we have right now, it needs to be done. We need to help these people the way we can. But for future reference, can we not reform the system so we're not having to try to rely on a bunch of federal bureaucrats when in a situation like this?
Well, this is why. Look, they're violating every norm in America right now. We talk about how they're putting the attorney general on trial in this Soviet-style show trial. Never happened before. It's so outrageous. The First Amendment is under attack right now. They constantly claim that even your questions are disinformation. Jesse Waters had a great summary of what they are claiming is disinformation with regard to the hurricane storm coverage.
North Carolina sees the aftermath, and Biden and Harris were late. So what are they claiming is disinformation? Number one, FEMA is seizing property. Trump never said that. Number two, people wouldn't get more than $750. Trump never said that. Oh, and then the migrant money. That came from them. Mayorkas said FEMA was going to run out of money for hurricane season. And FEMA admitted they wasted $1 billion on migrants. Now, I'm not great at math. If I were, I'd work on Wall Street. But if you spend too much money on one thing and don't have enough money for another thing, that means you messed up. But if someone's making crazy claims on the internet about FEMA, so what? The president of the United States shouldn't be amplifying it at a press conference. No one had ever heard about most of this misinformation until Biden repeated it in front of the nation.
All right, great summary there, David Noble. Your thoughts? We got about a minute or so to go before we wrap up the hour.
It's just everything is misinformation. Oh, we don't like that story. Oh, we don't like that point. Oh, we don't like that argument. Oh, we don't like that position. Oh, we don't like that opinion. Misinformation. It's like, give us something different, please. Do they have any other arguments other than just misinformation, not true, not true? It's like, what are you, a third grader? Everything you say bounces off of me in 60. It's like, what a bunch of childish punks these Democrats have become.
By the way, President Trump is hosting several electric utility linemen at one of his Florida resorts, as they're there on hand to prepare for storm recovery, storm response. That's incredible to see. I think it was at, was it Mar-a-Lago or was it another one here? He's so successful. It was at one of his woke update. There was a lot of woke stuff probably that we covered this hour. David, I think here's my candidate for woke update of the week from the New York Post. New York high school students participating in statewide walkout against trans athletes competing in girls' sports. So
good. And then there's all those stories, too, about those college volleyball teams refusing to play volleyball.
A good news woke update of the week.
That's
to wrap
one,
with.
Yeah.
There we go. Great to see you as always, David.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.